This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, 7:35 in the morning. I'm Kusa Chong, joined by Joyce Goh, and I've got Carlos Casanova, the chief economist for the Asia-Pacific region in Hong Kong for COFAS. Now, Carlos, welcome back to the show. If you can, give us a bit of a primer on where the Brexit discussions are, what your opinions are in terms of the trading patterns on pound sterling options, and what they indicate in terms of Brexit's timetable.
A rough week in the UK this week. Brexit, Theresa May's Brexit plan actually went down on a vote on Tuesday and it was voted down. So it was a big failure for her. That, of course, resulted in that no-confidence vote on Wednesday, which she narrowly survived. And that's a reflection of the Conservative Party that was responsible for voting against her Brexit proposal, being worried that if, there were to be another election that the Labour Party, the opposition party, would become victorious. So they decided to rescue her by a small, narrow margin. Now, the next steps in this whole process is that the president will have to come up with a plan B. This plan B will be presented to Parliament on January 21, and they will have to vote on January 29. Now, with the deadline for Brexit just under 3 months away, this means that a no-deal scenario is on the table once again, which, of course, is the most disruptive option for the UK, but also for the EU. There is, of course, the option that the EU might decide to extend the deadline for Brexit by another 3 months or even by another 2 years. But this option would require unanimous voting by all of the EU members, which, of course, can sometimes be difficult to achieve. So overall, we're heading into a much more volatile period in the Brexit negotiation.
Yeah, Carlos, this volatility can't be good for forecasting developments, especially for the UK's trading partners, whether it's from a credit currency or even a financial market perspective. What's your point of view on that?
Yeah, absolutely. So volatility is definitely not great. It has played a role in significantly lowering both investor sentiment and consumer sentiment in the UK. And we do think that that will continue to play a role going into 2019, which of course means weaker demand from the UK. There are a number of countries that are significantly exposed to UK demand through trade channels. And of course, these countries, which include China, that's the biggest one, but Japan has come second, followed by India, Vietnam, and then Malaysia, we'll see a decline in export orders from both the UK and the EU, because remember, it takes two to tango, so the EU will also feel the impact of a no-deal scenario. And you can expect that exports will fall going forwards.
Carlos, speaking about China, on Wednesday, the Chinese central bank injected a net 560 billion yuan into the banking system, the highest ever recorded for a single day. How do you see this impacting markets?
So we have seen a slurry of data coming out of China that is pointing towards a deceleration. And this is something that we've been saying now for quite some time. We do expect growth to come out a little slower. So the government is reacting by injecting liquidity or doing monetary policy stimulus in order to stimulate growth and also to shield the economy from some of the external headwinds that it's facing on the trade front with a trade war with the United States. We expect it to continue to be a targeted approach to stimulus. So that includes more reserve requirement ratio cuts, which they also did last week, and more injections of liquidity, which should help to lower the borrowing cost in the country, which should in turn, if the cost of money is lower, facilitate investments which will benefit the China demand. So, of course, on the trade front there, a lot of the Asian countries will see a decline from Europe and the UK, but that decline is potentially going to be buffered by demand from the Chinese market as more of this stimulus comes through.
Well, yeah, sitting as you do in Hong Kong, you know, what's your sense of the Chinese economy, especially when you pair your sentiment and your feel for the market when you get the data in from that part of the world, the exports, the imports, the sentiment, the credit figures, and of course on Monday, GDP is going to be reported.
Yeah, exactly. We are all eagerly waiting for that GDP reading on Monday. The current expectation is for it to have slowed down even further to about 6.4%, which would make the GDP figure for this year around 6.6%, which is sort of in line with what most analysts are saying. And we do see this slowing down further to about 6.2% in 2019. Now, the impact of the trade war on the export front has been limited so far because some of the tariffs are not substantial enough yet, but also because we saw a lot of front-loading of exports as a lot of companies anticipated higher tariffs and exported more to the U.S. ahead of time. This has finally started to wind down a little bit, and we saw that in the December data that was published on Monday. So we are starting to see a negative impact of exports, and that's, of course, going to affect the overall GDP reading as well. The other data that was out this week was the credit data, and we did see an increase in lending. And, of course, that is a reflection of what we've discussed on the monetary policy stimulus front, as the authorities try to inject more liquidity that is favorable for borrowing, and that increases loans overall. So we will see a little bit more of that, which should help to improve the investment figures that have been so low so far in 2018.
Well, excuse me, Carlos, moving across to the U.S., the new keyword is patient when it comes to the Fed. What's your take on that?
Our current stance on the Fed is that they will not implement any additional rate hikes this month because following from comments made last year regarding some uncertainties in the outlook for 2019, the Fed is likely to pause but not stop the rate at which they will hike rates in 2019. Currently, we've penciled in two, but of course, it's data dependent, so it depends on what happens to the global economy in 2019. It is possible that instead of two, it will be less, it will be one, but that is something that remains to be seen. Of course, this is not necessarily something bad for a lot of the Asian economies, as they have been struggling with outflows in 2018.
Well, Carlos, what is this uncertainty about Fed policy direction going to do where Asian central banks are concerned? Indonesia, of course, has just announced their policy direction for the month in question. But what about Malaysia, etc., especially for those who do a lot of business with America?
Yeah, so Asian central bankers were very reactive to the fast rate of Fed rate hikes in 2018. And a lot of the times they actually hiked interest rates even higher than the Fed in order to fend off those outflows and also to defend their currencies from further depreciation. Well, a slower rate of Fed rate hikes in 2019 means that there is more room to conduct monetary policy. There is less urge for central banks in Asia to hike rates. So we will continue to see some discrepancies in the region. You will have some countries in Asia that have some room to cut, and some countries in Asia will have to continue hiking rates, but overall, the pressure is much lower. So we do see Indonesia having significant space to just remain on hold, as they did quite a lot of rate hikes last year. Same for Malaysia, especially as inflation throughout the first half, at least, will remain very stable as the global sales tax was removed. So there's that base effect on figures over the board for the first 6 months at least. But there are other markets where there's a little bit of pressure to hike still in order to narrow that interest rate differential. And a good example of that is the Philippines, where inflation rates remain very high still despite all of the measures that have been put in place.
All right, Carlos, thanks so much for your insights. I was talking to Carlos Casanova, the chief Asia economist for COFAS in Hong Kong, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.